Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Back in 1989, the Iron Curtain fell. And for young people, the Iron Curtain was that for 70 years, Russia was under atheistic communism. And then in the 1940s, after World War II, Russia took over Eastern Europe. And for decades, Christianity was persecuted. Christians went to jail for their faith. Finally, in 1989, the curtain fell. Christians could go into Russia and share the gospel. In 1991, some Lutheran pastors and I went into the Moscow public schools. We were invited to preach the gospel and to hand out free Bibles. You can't do that in America. And I can remember handing out the Bible to all these teenagers, and this Russian school teacher comes up afterwards, "Can I have one?" And I gave her a Bible, and she just took it like, oh, like it was precious. Well, that was way back in 1991, and many people came to Christ after the wall fell. My question is, what's happening today? And we're going to bring in a couple experts. I'm going to introduce you now to Doug and Joanne Redunzel. Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
And hi, Doug.
Hello.
And they have been missionaries for 52 years, and they're still doing it. So they know all about what's happening in Eastern Europe, Russia. Are people coming to Christ, or are they not? So this is an important topic, and let's take a moment and pray before we begin. Father, we do pray for people in Russia, Ukraine especially right now, Bulgaria, Romania, the Czech Republic, Slovakia. God, these people that were under darkness and atheism for so many decades, we pray that they will come to Christ, and you'd send many missionaries there that would help these people know you. And Lord, we pray if anybody's watching this program and you're wanting them to be a missionary, then tap them on the shoulder. And Lord, if there are people watching that never support missions, help them get a zeal and a heart to pray for missionaries and to even give to missionaries. So speak to us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Doug and Joanne, what we like to do is always ask, in a very quick nutshell, we'll start with you, Joanne, how did you become a Christian?
I was very interested in spiritual things, but I didn't really know Jesus. I had a roommate who knew Jesus, and she was even involved in evangelism. Mm-hmm. She never shared her faith with me, but I started reading her Bible when she wasn't around. And through reading the Bible, I realized that I needed Jesus Christ to be not just living in my life, but controlling my life as well. And when I was able to share that with her, then she helped me figure out how to become a bigger evangelist.
Wonderful. How are you, Doug? How did you come to Christ?
Well, I was playing football in college, and one day before football practice, a couple guys from Campus Crusade came. One guy shared their testimony. I'd never heard a Christian testimony before. And then the other guy shared the four laws.
Four spiritual laws.
Yep.
Right here.
There it is.
This little booklet is the way Campus Crusade has led millions of people to Christ.
Yep.
Go ahead.
And so I accepted Christ, and I filled everything out the way they wanted me to, and a few days later I got a phone call, and they said, come on, we want to teach you some more stuff, and I went to the follow-up meeting and kind of never looked back.
So both of you became believers in college?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the next question. I'll ask you, Doug, first. How did you know you were supposed to be a missionary? How did that happen?
Well, at the end of 4 years, they had, what Campus Crusade did, they had a meeting, which for all the people in the area, and then they would come and they would explain what's going on in the world and what the needs are, and then they really wanted to know if you would like to participate in that. And I had already kind of made up my mind, I think I'd like to do this at least for a few years.
Okay.
I never dreamed it would be 50 years.
Okay.
But, so then I that's when I decided, and I applied and was accepted.
Were you married at that point?
No.
Okay,
no.
So how did you know to become a missionary?
I knew I wanted to share the gospel. And so I did join Campus Crusade for Christ. But then, very shortly after that, I heard about Eastern Europe, and I started praying for Christians who were persecuted. And I always wanted people in prayer groups to pray for them, but nobody ever did except for me. Mm-hmm. And the lawyer with Campus Crusade said, well, God's probably calling you to go there. And I was pretty shocked because I didn't consider myself that kind of a person. But within a year, I was on my way to working behind the Iron Curtain.
There you go. And you all went to my church way back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought something happened in church that told you you're supposed to go to Europe. Am I wrong on that?
Well, I was already over there.
Okay.
I had already been working in Eastern Europe for 4 years.
Okay.
And
I had taken some trips over there.
Okay.
And that's where I met Joanne.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. All right, now here's the big question. Initially, in 1989, when the wall fell, there was lots of Christian activity, a lot of people coming to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still going on? What's happening in Eastern Europe? What's happening in Russia?
People are still coming to Christ, and we're excited about all the... We work specifically with teachers, and so we see a lot of teachers coming to know the Lord, and through them, parents and other teachers, and children, of course. But actually, it's become a very... I mean, I would say young people, teenagers and such, are very secular. There's not as much interest in spiritual things.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When people have to pay for their faith, there's more activity.
Is there still persecution going on in the Eastern countries?
As far as in the Eastern Bloc and Eastern Europe, I don't think so. In Russia, I think there is some, but it's coming more from the political side of things, not so much from the old communists. But there's still quite a few folks that I thought that I think they're a little bit upset that communism fell apart, and so I think they're being a little... they wield the axe a little bit there. So,
and then I also remember, Doug, when you guys initially were going to go overseas to be missionaries, your mom got real sick, and you had to decide. You know the verse where Jesus says, "He who... let me go bury my father first." Jesus said, "No, who you doesn't put me above father and mother is not worthy of me." What happened with that situation?
Yeah, we decided to go back overseas, and then during all this time, we discovered my mom had Lou Gehrig's disease. And so I remember going to her and say, you know, we can stay back, we don't have to go, but we had a baby boy, and we were all set to go. We had gone through all the training, and she said, just go, maybe by the time you get over there, I can go over there before I become too disabilitated, and I can come and just see Europe. I've never done that. So, but by the time we left, she was already in a nursing home. And a year later, she passed away.
Yeah.
And so we had to come back for the funeral. And
but you went.
We went, yeah.
And there you go. And so here's another question. With all the Eastern European nations, are there certain nations that seem to be more accepting of the gospel than others?
I would say you'd be very surprised. Albania, which was completely closed.
Oh, it's horrible.
Completely closed to Christianity. They claimed to be the first totally atheistic country in the world.
Yeah.
And they are a Muslim nation. One of our strongest movements within the International School Project is in Albania. We see hundreds of teachers coming to the Lord.
Yeah, and again, what you do is you go in and you train the teachers to be Christians.
Yeah.
And then they train others.
Yeah.
All right,
that's
so Albania. Right. Now, I've heard that Prague and the Czech Republic is about the most atheistic place on earth. Is that true?
I don't know enough about the rest of the world.
All right.
But I would say that all of Eastern Europe and Western Europe are very hard grounds.
Yeah.
To...
And in Western Europe, I mean, people don't... The huge cathedrals are empty in Western right. Europe, but they didn't have the persecution.
No.
But they still lost the faith.
Yeah.
And and you worked for a while in Western Germany.
Yeah.
Did you see people convert there?
It was hard work, but
hard
yes,
work.
We did see people come
okay.
to know the Lord.
All right. And talking about Muslims, I've heard it said that Muslims can be the most difficult people to convert to Christ. Mm-hmm. Is that your experience?
Most people don't realize that they believe in Jesus as a prophet.
As a prophet.
They just don't believe in him as God.
Right, which is a big deal.
But we do see a lot of Muslims around the world coming to the Lord now.
And they're having visions, aren't
they? They are having visions.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're having visions of Jesus coming to them.
Yeah.
And we know of a group that was just over right after the attack on Israel, and there were a group of 200 Muslim men. And God appeared to all of them.
Oh.
Jesus appeared to all 200, and they were astounded. And
just to clarify for our Muslim friends, because I share the gospel with them sometimes because they're Uber drivers, and Christians don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God. We do believe Jesus is God.
We believe Jesus is God
with the Father and the Spirit.
Yeah.
But God is only one in our and Muslims even believe in the virgin birth of Christ.
Yeah.
But they don't believe he died on the cross for our sins.
Right.
In fact, some of them believe Judas died as a substitute. So it's not Christianity,
no.
But I pray for Muslims. So mainly, though, in Europe, you're taking people from no religion at all to Christ.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Right.
Okay. And so how do you do that? When you are going in and talking to these teachers, just give me an example of how would you lead someone to Christ, or to ask it a different way? Maybe somebody watching this program has a friend at work, and they've been trying to figure out, how do I even bring it up? What's your advice?
Well, what we do is we talk to them and ask them questions about their own lives. We ask them about how, not yes or no answers. How do you... what would you say is contentment? What gives contentment in life? What are the things that you would consider, what's involved in love?
Mm-hmm.
What is a real loving relationship? Those kinds of questions. And
then they'll share.
They'll share.
And then you say?
Then we, go on in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point is to lead to the gospel.
And I've heard one thing you ask is, why do you think the world is so messed up?
Yeah.
Everybody's got an opinion on that.
Right.
And then you say, can I tell you what the Bible says?
Yeah.
The Bible says we're all sinners and we need Christ as our Savior.
It's always our goal.
You worked also with a lot of sports because you're an athletic kind of guy. How did that work? What work did you do?
Well, when I first got involved with Athletes in Action, with Crew, you're put on different campuses, and so because I was an athlete, I could just go in. I wrestled with guys. I tried to do sports with them, but I'd always, I would just simply ask the guys, okay, if I met somebody new, I'd say, hey, I'm with Athletes in Action. Can I come and tell you about my what we do? And I'd always say, we're part of a Christian organization. We have a Christian spiritual dimension to what we're doing. And so I'd say, I like to talk about that too. So I get right up front right away. So.
And this is maybe a dumb question, but with your experiences overseas now, we'll say, does it seem that women are more open to the gospel of Christ than men, or is it pretty even?
Well, with the teachers, I know a lot more women are teachers just generally.
Okay.
So we have a lot of, we have a lot of women.
Okay.
Although in African countries, it seems like more the men are dominant for being teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot more men. I don't know. I would say almost more, maybe more women are probably more interested. But
all right.
Yeah.
But men, guys need to challenge guys.
All
just
right.
Just challenge them. Just go
and
get them.
How about this question? Again, maybe it's not the smartest question, but more rich people or poor people seem to come to know the Lord? Do you have any answer on that?
Well, I think people who don't have as much in the world are more interested in spiritual things.
Yeah.
People who feel content, they think they've already arrived, they're not as open because they don't think they have a need.
That's good. How about
I used to meet with in the house of the fifth richest man in America.
You did?
Yeah, and we would have meetings or staff meetings, and he would go down and he would invite all kinds of people, and I was at some of his evangelistic meetings, and it was just fascinating.
Wow.
There are a lot of wealthy folks coming to the Lord.
Would they come to the Lord?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Now, before the camera started rolling, you guys were talking to me about how one thing that is similar between America and Eastern Europe is how students have been taken over by secularism.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I mean, in previous years, because we've been over there for a very long time, and during communism, it wasn't a problem. But now they have access to everything that Western Americans have access to. And so they've got the same desires that are not Christian. They've got the same problems with Christianity. They're very secular, and they just want to be on Facebook or whatever.
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
mm-hmm.
all over the world, it's
yeah,
the same thing.
Yeah, Christianity is not an issue for them.
It's one big world now.
I mean, I'm an adult. I have to pray, Lord, help me not be addicted to watching too many YouTube videos or whatever. What about this? Do you experience in your Eastern Europe and Russia the cults? I mean, are Jehovah's Witnesses over there? Are the Mormons over there? Are there New Age teachers over there? Tell me, what is it there?
When we moved into Russia after communism fell apart, we weren't there 3 weeks before we were visited by the Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, my.
And they had a huge conference in Moscow that summer.
Oh, my. And just for our viewers, Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe in the Trinity. They don't believe Jesus is Lord and God, and it's kind of a works religion. Oh, that's too bad. How about Mormons?
They're over there, too.
They're over there, too.
Mm-hmm.
What about, now, for our viewers, there's the Catholic Church, there's the Orthodox Church, and then there's the Protestant churches. The Orthodox Church has always been strong in Russia and Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Were they persecuted during the 70 years of communism?
Well, in Russia, they were. I know I've seen films of their churches just being totally destroyed, including some phenomenal buildings.
Aww.
That were just they were just bombed, and they were turned into places to put, you know, store food or horse animals, things like that. They just desecrated them.
I mean, Stalin killed more people than Hitler, didn't he?
I think so.
He was the culprit in all of this. Some of these buildings are being rebuilt. Yeah, Orthodoxy is big in Russia. It probably always will be. Lutheranism was really big in the Ukraine prior to the communism, and then a lot of them moved out. So anyway,
when we were at the beginning of the program, I talked about some Lutheran pastors and I going to Russia in 1991. We met with an old Lutheran pastor when he was 5 years old. His mother or his father went to the post office, never came back. Mom had to take those kids. They flew to Siberia, and they were there for years and years and years. I mean, just, there are horror stories.
It was terrible, but I'm going to tell you something. It's over in those areas where the Christians were persecuted and put in prison, and then it fell apart. Well, there were still a lot of believers there. There's more evangelism and people coming to the Lord in that part of Russia than any other place, even now.
Wow.
And the gulags are still going, you know. They're still operating.
The gulags. Explain to people what that is.
Well, it's like a prison. Yeah, only they're really massive. And so prisoners are going there. And some of those are still open. They're not like they were, of course, during communist times.
So Putin is still putting people there.
Yeah. That's a prison.
Isn't Putin a baptized Orthodox?
He is.
Okay.
And the head of the Orthodox Church has come and put holy water on the jets that are going to bomb Ukraine.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
And a sad story is when the wall came down and people like you, your evangelical-type Christians, Campus Crusade for Christ, and when you went in, the Orthodox Church didn't like it overwhelmingly.
No.
What happened?
People that we led to the Lord who were in the Orthodox Church, they were very punished for that, and most of them went back to the Orthodox Church.
Or did they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's bring this up. You both and I are getting kind of old. And you've been I've been a pastor for a gazillion years. You've been missionaries for 52 years, but you're still serving the Lord, and so am I. And I just want to encourage our listeners, if you're an older person, find something to do to serve the Lord. And I heard a great sermon where this pastor bemoaned the fact that so many Christians retire and move to Florida, and all they do is walk the beach and collect seashells. And this pastor said, what are you going to do on Judgment Day? Hold them up and say, look, God, isn't this a lovely seashell collection? You're not doing that, and I'm not doing that. But how long do you think you'll be doing this?
I say, as long as I'm on this earth, God has a plan to use me for His glory.
Absolutely.
And that is what I'm going to do as long as I live, one way or another.
And if there's somebody watching this and, you know, you can't get out of bed, you're so bedridden or mm-hmm. older, then you've got a praying ministry. You can start praying for Doug and Joanne Redunzel and Campus Crusade for Christ Overseas. You got any thoughts on this, Doug?
Well, let's see. Try to stay in shape. You know, just you know, eat well.
Yep.
And eat lots of vegetables.
Yep.
You know, stuff like that. And try to stay healthy. As long as we can get on a plane and go someplace, and as long as we can contribute to the fulfillment of the Great Commission on the international field, we have international skills. And so we feel like we still need to invest those.
Yeah.
And we feel like we can just almost go any place in the world and get off the plane and we can function.
And, you know, I just got a letter from somebody in Iowa. I'm a born-again Christian, but just life is so awful. I don't seem to have any meaning or purpose. Mm. And my point to him, I wrote him back, but every Christian who's breathing has a purpose.
Yeah.
And you got to, if you're 8 or 80 or 90, you got to find something to do to serve the Lord, because He put us on this planet for His glory. And so let's ask this question then. Maybe somebody is watching this show and they've never even thought of becoming a missionary. And maybe somebody else is really chewing on it. How do you determine whether you're actually, I mean, we're all missionaries in one sense, but other than that, how do you know if you're supposed to go into this full time? How do you figure stuff like that out? How do you hear the voice of the Lord?
Well, you start moving. You don't sit there waiting for an invitation. You start moving and looking into what possibilities are there, how can your gifts be used, checking out different organizations.
Yeah, just start moving.
Yeah.
There's an
but
old
you
saying.
You have to move.
It's easier to steer a moving car than a parked car. What are your thoughts on that, Doc?
Well, there's many short-term missions. Jump on a short-term mission trip. You might fail.
Go to Haiti for 2 weeks with your church.
Sure. It might not work out, or you might feel you might just right away say this isn't for me. But at least you've tried.
Yeah.
You know, just try. You know, and try to do it internationally. Try to go take a flight and get over on another border and just.
And
try.
A lot of churches do this.
You know,
and that's the other thing. A lot of churches have a mission program where they support, like the church that I served for 28 years, you're still getting support from them. But a lot of churches don't have missionaries. I think that's awful. So I want to encourage you, if you go to a church, and you should, make sure you've got a mission program, you've got some missionaries to support.
Sure.
Yeah, because God blesses those churches.
Yeah.
You're not all inwardly looking. Speaking of that, are there some missions, like somebody may be watching wondering, you know, I want to give my money to where it doesn't go to some TV preacher's jet, and I don't have a jet, but they just want to make sure their money goes to the salvation of souls overseas. Can you just name a few organizations you would give money to?
We are very in support of, obviously with Campus Crusade for Christ, also known as CRU, but Navigators, I mean, absolutely. They are an amazing organization and have a lot of denominations.
So everybody, you Google Navigators all over the world.
Yeah.
A Campus Crusade for Christ, the Jesus Film Project
is
one aspect of Campus Crusade. Mm-hmm. They're really bringing people to Christ.
All over the
world.
What
else?
Well, I'd say Young Life is another one, okay. Another good group, and they have international missionaries, and they work. They don't just work with young folks; they have older folks too. But that's a good. That's a good investment with either by going or supporting. Or,
yep,
that's a good one.
We worked a lot with Slava Gospel Association.
Gospel Association. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw out a couple names. The Timothy Initiative, mm-hmm. all over the world, bringing lost people to Christ.
Yeah.
I also like to support something called International Christian Concern. This is a group that helps persecuted Christians be able to feed their families because dad is in jail and he can't. And they also have missionary work that's called International Christian Concern. Samaritan's Purse is good.
Samaritan's Purse.
So there are a lot of good, a lot of good, and CharityNavigators.org. If you want to check out if this is kosher or not, they grade people. Mm-hmm. So that's another way to do it. But in fact, let's put you do the schools.
Yeah.
You're getting teachers converted, and I want to. There it is. If you want to support and pray for them, ISP.org. And there's another good place to give your money. Mm-hmm. Well, we've only got a minute or two left. Would either one of you just pray for our viewers that God will give them a heart for mission? Whoever would like to pray.
Sure. I'll pray. Lord, thank you for everyone watching this program. I pray that everyone, that they would want to follow you and they realize following you is an adventure and ask them to do it. And I pray for everyone. I pray that they'll attempt to do missions, even if it's just helping with the local churches. I pray for everyone, just if they want to just jump on a plane on a mission trip, just to give it a try. And Lord, I do pray for maybe some here that will support what's going on within the Ukraine. I lift up the war that's going on there, pray that it will end soon. I pray for anyone that's trying to do anything with missions. I just lift them up to you now,
yes,
in
Lord.
Christ's name.
Jesus' name, mm-hmm. amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Joanne.
Yes.
Thank you, Doug. And just we appreciate what you're doing. And you know what? It occurs to me, one other good mission to support. That's this TV program.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And I just to give an update, we're on the air because of your prayers and your giving. And what happens in our ministry, when enough money comes in, we just keep adding stations around the country.
Sure.
So we're on more stations now than we ever have been, and it's because people like the fact that we're preaching scripture and following the word and not following the world like some denominations are doing. So if you'd like to be part of what we're doing and help support it, you can go to pastorsstudy.org. All of our TV shows are there if you want to watch them for free anytime. So pray for missions, give to missions, and we'll see you next time at the Pastor Study. God bless you.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.